Remember Bob Dylan, that song that he wrote? You got to serve somebody. It may be the Lord, it may be the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. You're either a slave to God or you're a slave to sin. You're either children of God or you're a child of the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
We hope you're having a great day, and once again, we welcome you to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, "The Most Hated Word in the World." Let's listen in.
Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what's good. Obey the law. Obey the laws of the land. You'll have praise from the same. Listen now, all the people in government, wherever they are in local government, the governments of the world, for he is God's minister. That literally means he is God's servant. Whether he is a believer or unbeliever, he's God's servant to you for good. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question now. Does that mean that God, who has all authority, does that mean that God approves of wicked governments or wicked dictators and all of that? No. Or listen, Christians are everywhere, loved one, all over the world. Are we to submit? I mean, do we just go along with and submit to a government that takes little children, that they come to Jesus Christ and they go out and crucify them? Do we do that? No, we don't submit to that. Do we support or go along with a government that if you convert to Christianity, the punishment is death? Do we go along with a nation that says you can't have a crucifix, you can't have a Bible, you can't have the Star of David? You can't even have a church building because there's only one nation on earth that doesn't have a church building. One. Are we to go along with that kind of filth? No, not at all. Loved one, listen to me. Governments are to do good. We just read it. To do good to the people, to protect the people. Amen? Very, very important. Now, Christians live in every part of the world, all over different forms of government. Whenever Peter, when he penned this, there was only one government, only one rule. It was the government absolute authority of Nero, the Roman Empire. Amen? Listen, Peter knew about governments. He saw what the Roman government and the Jewish government did to the Jesus Christ, his Lord. They crucified him, amen? And you know what's going to happen to Peter? The Roman government, they're going to crucify him upside down, and they're going to behead the Apostle Paul. So when you look at all this, you ask yourself a question. Is he saying, listen, we've got to be behind Nero and his government when he's crucifying Christians in his rose garden and puts tar all over them and lights them up at night so they can see to drink their wine and have their party? Is Peter blind to government? No, not at all. Peter says, you obey the government, he said right here. You have honorable conduct wherever you live, China, Iraq, America, wherever it might be. Man, what a word, but I'm not finished, so hold on. But I do want to say something because the election is coming, and I'm not political, nor will I ever be. This is the good news, not politics up here, okay? But you need to know something as we go into this election year, which is just a few months away. Jesus, our Lord, is not a Democrat. I know maybe you're shocked. I'm going to shock you one more time. Jesus, our Lord, is not a Republican. Jesus, our Lord, is independent. And his vote is the only vote that counts. Amen? So let's keep it in God's house, all right? Not the White House. Now, with all of that being said, why do we submit? Why do we come under the authority and do what God says? Look why. It says, for whose sake? The Lord's sake. We're to honor him. Listen, it says, wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord and everything in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, why do you submit to your husband? It's because he's smarter, isn't it? You know I'm joking. Amen? Okay, don't send me anything. No, but because you submit, meaning mutual submission to your husband. Because why? You obey the Lord. That's your role. You know, you have a role that is not an inferior role or less than your husband, or it's just you have to work that out. Man, that's why so many marriages are in trouble today, is because there's not mutual submission between the husband and the wife, meaning it's no longer the wife's will, it's no longer the husband's will. It's both of you coming together and say, we want God's will. This is how we raise our children. This is how we do our marriage. This is how we prepare our home. Amen? How can you be wrong when you want to do it God's way? If you don't do it God's way, you're not submitting. You're saying your way's better than God's. You're wiser than God, who created marriage. No. Loved one, listen. Man, why do children submit to their parents? Well, that's a rare thing anyway, but why? No, I mean, listen to me. Why do we submit? Why do you submit wherever you work, no matter whatever you do in your life? Why do you go into work and submit to your boss? Why do you do that? I mean, you submit. He may not be a believer. She may not be a believer. May an unbeliever. It doesn't mean that your boss is moral or immoral. It doesn't mean they're even a good person. It doesn't mean they're even a good leader. It says you submit because God told you to. If they say this, this is okay, thank you. This is what I'm going to do. Listen, we submit for the Lord's sake. Look at 13 now. Whether to the king as supreme, and golly, in Peter's time that would be Nero, as governors, and as to those who are sent by him, meaning not sent by the Lord for whatever task, but by the governors, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. Now, question. Do we as Christians, no matter what part of the world we may be in, do we submit to everything the government says? No. What if it contradicts God's word? Do we agree? No, not at all. Why? We have a higher authority. We have the word of the living God. Amen? And we submit to whatever God's word said. We have many examples in the Bible of people not submitting to the government that they were under. How about the midwives during the time of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt? Whenever Pharaoh, the king, what did he do? He commanded the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, to kill all of the male babies that come out of the womb. Go put them, throw them in the Nile, drown them or whatnot, and so forth. And it says in Exodus 1:17 that the midwives feared God. They didn't fear Pharaoh. They feared God. Did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. See, you have a choice just like they had a choice. Do I obey Pharaoh? Do I obey God? You see, they loved the Lord. They submitted unto God, and they loved the Lord more than they loved their own lives. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Whenever they're in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and following, whenever Nebuchadnezzar set up that big image out there and you have to fall down and worship when the trumpets sound, if not, you're going to be put in the fiery furnace, remember? It says in Daniel 3:17, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, well, if this is the case, in other words, Nebuchadnezzar, if you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But I love this. But if not, if he doesn't, our faith in him is not diminished. Our allegiance to him has not changed. We still are going to be obedient to God who we love. He says, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Listen. Obedience to submit to the word of God meant more to those three men than their own very lives. How about the apostles, Peter and the apostles, when they were forbidden in the book of Acts to teach in the name of Jesus, to mention the name of Jesus, not only by the temple guard and the Pharisees and the chief priests and all, but by the Romans as well. Don't teach in this name ever again, Peter said in Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. And in other words, the only way I can obey God is to disobey you. And they were beaten for what they did, remember? And they went away rejoicing and so forth. Listen, sometimes we have to do what God's word said and not obey the government. Did you know that? We have to do that. I mean, what would happen if they say, if all of a sudden they passed laws that said, you're forbidden to pray. You can't pray at In-N-Out Burger anymore. You know what I mean? course, that's a drive-through window, I guess you go through, but I think you can go in. I don't know. But let's say you can go in, but you're forbidden now. The government says you can't pray in public. What would you do? How about this? Bill, we just passed a law. The word of God in some places now is considered hate speech, and you cannot let that go across the radio waves. You cannot print it and send it in books. You can't have that on your website, and you certainly can't preach it in the church that you have been called to pastor. Now, what do you think I would do? Do you think I would say, okay, thank you? I say, no, I have a higher calling. I'm going to disobey you because I don't care. I'm going to do what God said to do, and I'm going to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And see, that's what we're to do. So sometimes we have to do that. See, Christians must disobey the government whenever we are called upon to violate the commands of God or commit some kind of wicked, immoral act. We say, no, we're not doing that. John Stott says it very well. We're to submit right up to the point where obedience to the state would entail disobedience to God. But if the state commands what God forbids or forbids what God commands, then our plain Christian duty is to resist, not to submit, to disobey the state in order to obey God. Now listen, why do we submit to government? Do you ever think about that? Why do we really submit to anything here as believers? Listen, we obey the laws of the land out of obedience to our Father, not out of obedience to our government. Did you know that? Amen? Come on, we really did. Loved one, listen, we hate that word submit. The old man hates it. We're all guilty. You know, you're on 820. I mean, that's my favorite interstate. And, you know, let's say the speed limit is 65 miles an hour. Do you drive 65? Come on. Don't you go to 70? I mean, and then if it's 75, you're going, this is great. And then you go to 80. Now, if you don't do that, I'm telling you, I do that. Okay? Why? I don't know why. But I'm going to go past that speed limit. And then if you get pulled over, I'm going to go, I don't know what was wrong. It was old Billy. I don't know. Do you understand? I don't know what it is, but look here. Number one, the first reason we submit is for the sake of the Lord. It's the Lord's, okay, for him. But the second reason we submit, verse 15, look at this. The second reason we submit, and I want you to catch this now. It says, for this is the will of God. Submitting to government or anything. Submitting to government is not a step outside of Christianity, loved one. It's a step into the will of God. And boy, if you can just grasp that and see that, it's so much easier. You're not obeying them, you're obeying your Father in heaven. It makes it so much easier to do that. Look at it. For this is the will of God, and that's your only secure foundation, the will of God. It's the will of God for you to be in church. It's the will of God for you to serve. It's the will of God for you to support the kingdom of God. If not, you're not submitting. Boy, that's a tough word, isn't it? But that's the truth. This is the will of God, that by doing good, meaning to other people, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, meaning those that were accusing them of evil doing and so forth. Now listen, nowhere in the Bible do you find Jesus or anyone else saying we need to rebel against the government. Amen? You won't find it. It's not there. Or overthrow the government. He says this is the will of God. Do good. In verse 12, it says, when we do good, it glorifies our Father, which is in heaven. Now, why? Our actions speak louder than our words when we do good. It says something. Paul writes in Romans 12:9, he says, cling. That word means glue yourself, be cemented. Cling to what is good. Now, well, good works are good. But then what did he do there? He says, your good works do something. Put to silence. That is one word in the Greek, and it is a strong graphic word. The put to silence means this. It means to gag, like put a rag in somebody's mouth, or to muzzle where they're silent. So what is Peter saying? He's saying that the way a Christian lives in this fallen world, or even in times of persecution, the way that they live, no matter what they are facing, you should so stun people by your good works and your actions that they are now muzzled or they are speechless. They're blown away at by what you do. Romans 12:21, we're to overcome evil with good. Amen? Don't let it overcome you. And then he says, as free, meaning as a free people, We're the freest people on the planet. Amen. John 8:32, Jesus said, you'll know the truth. Truth will set you free. John 8:36, if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. So we are a free people. He says, live as a free people, yet not using your liberty, your freedom in Christ as a cloak for wickedness or for vice. In other words, to cover up who you really are, but live as bondservants or slaves of God. Now listen, you cannot live a life of freedom, Christian, without submitting to the Word of God. When you walk in the Word of God, that's when you're the freest person on earth. Amen? And that's what he's saying right now. But here's what I want you to catch, and listen very carefully. There is no such thing as absolute personal freedom for any person, in any generation, anywhere on this planet. Did you catch what I just said? I said, there is no such thing as absolute personal freedom. You think yourself free. No. Listen, remember Bob Dylan, that song that he wrote? You got to serve somebody. It may be the Lord, it may be the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. You're either a slave to God or you're a slave to sin. You're either a son of God, a children of God, or you're a child of the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's terrible. That's the Word of God. 1 John 3:10, read it. Man, listen, you've got to understand that to be free in this world that is not our home. We're in a body that's, we reckon him dead, the old flesh, the old Billy, the old man. We reckon him dead and we're born again. But loved one, listen to me. To be free in a world that is not our home, we have to do something. Peter, he uses that word bondservant, a slave. It's doulos. In Greek, it's doulos. That's the only way that we can really remain free in this world. Do you know what a doulos does or has? Nothing. He has no life of his own. He has no will of his own. He has no plan of his own. He has only one desire, his will, a bondservant. His will is now swallowed up in the will of another, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul the apostle said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen? That's who we live for. And that's what he's saying right here. He says, listen, that's the only way that we can do that. And look at that word again, as free, yet not using liberty, your freedom, as a cloak for vice. You know, it's a terrible thing when, say you're in the workplace and you, and everybody knows you're a believer, But you kind of, I don't know, you're kind of hanging with the crowd, the ones that are not born again. And so slowly, you know, let's say you're construction. I can remember those days. So, hey, we got a case of beer out here, boys. It's time, quitting time. Let's go have something to drink. You know what I mean? And here you are, you're a believer, and they've been watching you all this time, and you go out there and start chugging a beer with them, you know, drinking a cool one, whatever you call them today, Rocky Mountain High. I don't know what it is. Do you understand? Do you follow me? Do you think that's going to be good? Well, if you do that, I'm not saying you do, but don't tell them you go to this church, please. Okay? Don't tell them, you know, you go to Calvary. You say, no, tell them you go to church across the street. I mean, or whatever. No, you don't want to do that. No, see, you're putting on a cloak. You're hiding who you really are. Don't do that. And look what he says here. Now, how he closes. He's going to close with four imperatives, which are four commands, and they're all present tense, meaning you keep doing this. He goes in verse 17, he says, how do you use your freedom? Well, you're going to honor all people. That means whether a person is saved, whether they're not saved, whether they're rich, poor, is to show respect to everyone. Recognize their worth because they're made in the image of God. Amen. In the next command, love the brotherhood. That's us. Remember 1 Peter 1:22, we're to love one another with sincere love, with a pure heart. 1 Peter 4:8, fervent love, we're to love one another that way. And this word love here, remember, is agape. And so that's the love of God. So it is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul the apostle writes and he says in Romans 13:8, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Think about that. Fulfill the law in one word by just loving one another. And then the next command, fear God. Have reverence for the Lord. Remember what I said about that? Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, that's the starting point. If you haven't started there, you haven't started. And then he says another command, honor the king. Keep on honoring the king. You know, why do we honor the king? Let's say, let's change it. That was Nero, but let's change it to the, why do we honor the president? You know, I mean, we submit because we fear the Lord. Amen? It's not about the president. It's about doing what God says to do. And we honor the office. It doesn't mean the person's in the office. We might think he's not a very good person. You think Nero was a good person? No. We show respect to all people. All people. You honor, you submit to God, you honor all people. They're made in his image again. Now, you know, when you think about honoring, let's say our president, and we're in election year and all of that, you know, what are we to do? What are we to do really? Because there's so much division, more today than I've ever seen concerning politics in the church or in the church. I don't deal with any of that. But the Bible is very clear. If we're going to submit to God, we have to do something. It says, therefore, in 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, I urge and exhort, first of all, priority, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody, praying that they'd be saved, praying for all people, all over the world. And then it says, for kings or presidents, if we bring it up to date, and for all those who are in authority. And here's the reason. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Did you know that peace in our nation and other nations of the world where Christians live, they are related to the prayers of the saints of God, whether they pray for the office or not? Do you understand? That's how important prayer is. Listen, no person on earth is outside the influence of our prayers. We can pray for anybody. And you say, well, somebody say, oh, I'm not praying for Biden. I'm not praying for no Democrat, you know? Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that maybe your prayers are more powerful than his? Do you understand? I mean, do you think that, you know what? I mean, who is more powerful? Think about it. See, he thinks he has the power, but God's the one who has the power. No matter who's in the office. And so we pray for him. It doesn't say, I want you to agree with him, then pray with him. I don't agree. I don't even listen to what politicians say anymore because there's too many lies. Come on. God doesn't lie. No. So we don't have to agree with them. We pray for them. Now, let's wrap this all up, okay? Submission is the attitude of the heart. It's the attitude of the heart, loved one. Submission is a godly lifestyle, submitting to the Word of God, whatever he says. Amen? But there's something in all of us that wants to rebel, that we say, I'm not going to submit. You know, I told the early church.
It was a long time ago.
No, the early service. I was talking about submission, submitting unto the Lord, like your employer. Have you ever had an employer just drives you crazy? You know how many times I painted that wall? 17 times, 17 different colors. And you know what? I did it with a smile. It was phony.
Yeah, I love you, you know.
But the fact of the matter is, and honest to God, I did not submit to that, but I submitted to him. I submitted to him. Lord, that's the person's hired me. If he wants me to paint that wall 30 times a different color, I'm going to do it. But I'm doing it for you. And I had no idea that this person that I was digging that tree four holes for and painting owned over 250,000 acres in the state of Texas and was one of the richest men. And because I did that with that tree, he came up to me and he said, you're the most patient person I've ever met. And I want you to manage all of my properties. And that's what I did. And that's why for 8 years I never received a salary from this church, is because they so abundantly blessed me, exceedingly abundantly, all because I submitted to my Lord.
Pastor Bill's First Peter series will continue on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we trust that you'll tune in once again. Thank you for listening to the program today. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day. So long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.